I'd like to begin with a simple, yet I think almost deceptively simple, question. You ready? Here it is. What attitude did you bring today? What attitude did you bring with you to this hour? We have a good number here. We have others that are watching. And I would ask the same thing. What attitude do you bring? Let me go ahead and say that I think often the way you come makes a great difference in what you get. If you come with low expectations, you may get very little. If you come with high expectations, you might get more. What are your expectations? And by the way, the expectations you brought, or the attitude that you brought, might be the attitude you woke up with this morning. I did this morning what I often do, that when I first awakened, woke up before the alarm went off, and I was there in the quietness, and I sang as loudly as I could in my mind, because my sweetheart was there, and I sang this: I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. I often do that because I want to start my day with a sense of, here it is, anticipation. Anticipation. I think if you come to this hour, you come most likely to receive what you need if you come with anticipation. By the way, when you come to this book, I would encourage you to come with anticipation. God has something that He wants to say to you. I often hear in my home the voice of another man, Dr. David Jeremiah. How many of you know who that is? Oh, we like to hear Dr. Jeremiah, and my wife will often have him on. As I walk through the house, I'll hear his voice. Right now, she's reading his book on the book of Revelation. She's reading through that a couple of times, the book of Revelation a couple of times. And hello, Debbie. How are you doing? And so I think that she's got a real sense of anticipation. Now, Dr. David Jeremiah picked a great title for his ministry. You know what it is? This could be your turning point. This could be your turning point. I want you to understand, that's why I would say come to this hour, and if you didn't come to this hour, make the adjustment right now to say this could be my turning point. And I want to suggest to you that what I'm going to share with you today and over the next two messages may serve to do exactly that. That some one or some two or some 20 of the people who hear this may look back in days to come and say, wow, that was a turning point in my life. Let me just tell you that on April the 7th, 2009, I had one of those turning points. In fact, what I'm going to share with you today and over the next 2 weeks relates to that turning point. It was April the 7th. I was reading in the Gospel according to Matthew. I was near the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And I came to something and I pushed the pause button. And I began to think about it. And out of that came some things in my life that to this day continue to bear fruit and continue to be practiced. A turning point. Now, some of you listening to me right now would say, perhaps, I don't think I have any need for a turning point. You know what I'm saying to you? Thank God for you. I mean, you may just be growing from one degree of glory to another. You may be seeing God work in your life. I'm so thankful for that. But I would suspect that somebody listening to me this morning has already thought, you know what? I need a turning point in my life. I was reading in Matthew on that day. And if you have a copy of Scriptures with you, turn to Matthew. And when you turn to Matthew, find Matthew 7. And when you find that, go to the end or almost the end of the chapter to verse number 24. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 24. Now, I will tell you before I begin to read that out of this came the 7:24 challenge, which is what I'm going to offer to you today and over the next 2 weeks, the 7:24 challenge. And it came from Matthew 7:24. By the way, that challenge is simply this: 7 days a week. That's the seven. 7 days a week, I will spend at least 24 minutes each day interacting with God through His Word. You say, I don't even know what that means. Stay with me today in the next 2 weeks and you will. That's the 7:24 challenge. Now, with your copy of Scripture before you, let's look at this particular Scripture, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, this is Jesus, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended. The floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now look at what it says after that. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Two different men, two different kinds of people, one wise, one foolish. I want you to hear me say this very, very carefully, that it is possible to be a child of God and still be spending too much of your life on the sand. It's possible to be a child of God and still have a shakiness about you. Let's do a little trivia. I'm going to read a quote and see if there's anybody in the room that knows who said this. It ain't about how hard you can hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. Who knows who said that? Yeah, I see a hand. Let me look. Okay, all right. So here's who it was. It was Rocky Balboa. You remember him? Sylvester Stallone in those movies that now I think number 8. And that very first one, nobody expected it to do well. They shot that thing in 28 days. They spent $1.1 million on that movie back in the 1970s, 76, I believe. And yet it grossed $117.2 million. Rocky. And he came into the consciousness of many people as this person who could not be stopped. You could knock him down 10 times, he's going to get up 11 times. You can't defeat him. So, I have another question. If you had a nickname spiritually, what would it be? If you had a nickname spiritually, what would it be? Would people call you shaky because you lack stability? Would your nickname be kid because you never grow up? I'm talking spiritually now. Or would your nickname be sleepy, sneezy, dopey, doc, happy, bashful, or grumpy? Hey, I've lived long enough to see all of those in church. You know what I'm talking about. What would your nickname be? And I will tell you from the bottom of my heart, my desire is that my spiritual nickname would be Rocky. Not because I'm a fighter, I'm not, but because I want to have a life that is rock solid for Jesus Christ. I want a life that cannot be shaken by the winds of this world. And I want to take just a few minutes of your time and share with you how you can have, how I can have, that kind of rock solid life. And it's based on this scripture that is before us. Remember, the 7:24 challenge says 7 days a week, I'll spend at least 24 minutes each day interacting with God through His Word. I will tell you, I believe that's how you get to the place that you're a Rocky spiritually, where the things that happen do not take you off course. So, here's my question again. How can I experience rock solid living? Really, I only have one answer. But I'm going to give you two sentences because the first one tells you what will not produce rock solid living. So if you're a note taker, get your pen or pencil out or write on your phone or whatever you do. And I want to give you answers to this question. The first one being a disclaimer. So here we go. Remember the question. How can I experience rock solid living? Number one, it will not come as a consequence of my circumstances. Can I say it again? It will not come as a consequence of my circumstances. Now, with your Bible still open, and I hope you always keep your Bible open, I want to invite your attention to verse 25. And in verse 25 it says, stay with me, church, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. Now, was that speaking of the wise man or the foolish man? Answer, the wise man. But now drop down and look at verse 27. Look at verse 27. What does it say? And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. Now listen to me. I believe Jesus was a master teacher. And Jesus says things for a reason. And He wants you to understand, and He wants me to understand, that if I am going to be a rocky spiritually, if I'm going to have that kind of rock solid living, it's not going to happen because the circumstances all line up beautifully. It's not going to come because of my circumstances at all. That's not how it's going to happen. And I think there are some of us that think that's what it will require, who believe that if we have sufficient faith, we can stop the storms. If we have sufficient faith, the wind won't beat against our home and against our heart and against our life. And I don't think Jesus always stills the storm, but I know that He stills my soul in the storms of life. Now, hear me. And I love the people of God, and I love you. But procrastination's a problem for us. It really is. It's the kind of thing that says, well, I will when. And you fill that in. I will do what God wants me to do when I get married. I will do what God wants me to do when our baby's out of diapers. I will do what God wants me to do when we're past the terrible twos. I will do what God wants me to do when my children are in school. I will do what God wants me to do when my kids are not so busy in school. I will. When? When? You know what you're saying when you say that? You're saying, I will if the circumstances are right. Can I tell you, we have an enemy of our soul. He's called the devil, and he's out there to make sure your circumstances never get all right. If my sweetheart were here today, she would tell you of the times in our life that she would say to me, when are things going to get back to normal? Until one day she looked at me and said, I guess this is normal. You know, life happens. And we don't get any exemption from that. Your circumstances are not the issue. Let me say it again. Your circumstances are not the issue. You can have rock solid living, but if you're waiting until the stars line up in a certain way, you'll be waiting when you die. Oh, by the way, the word circumstance comes from a Latin word. It comes from two words. The first one, C-I-R-C-U-M. That's the Latin. It's also the way it's spelled in the English. And it literally means around, like circumference of a circle, around, C-I-R-C-U-M. And the other word is this word, S-T-A-R-E in the Latin. And of course, we get it at S-T-A-N-C-E, which literally means stand. So here's what circumstance means. Stand around. And I would suggest that many Christians are just standing around. Standing around waiting for that shiver in your liver. Stand around waiting for that light bulb to come on. Stand around waiting for a sign. Stand around waiting for the circumstances to perfectly line up. They're never going to line up, and you can be a Rocky anyway. In fact, I will tell you, that's when it will be noted by those who know you, that you are a Rocky. But it does not come as a consequence of our circumstances. And if you're ready for a turning point, then I'm going to suggest you move beyond your circumstances. If you're ready to have rock solid living, then I want you to move out of that circle that you are in. How can I experience rock solid living? It is not a consequence of my circumstances. So now I'm to the one answer. I'm to the one answer. And let me remind you of what Jesus said. He who hears these sayings of mine and does them. Ah! Hey, by the way, both of them heard. If you read your text, both of them heard. That wasn't the difference. No. He who hears these sayings of mine and does them. Let me tell you, you are at the heart of what it means to be a disciple. How can I have rock solid living? Well, it will not come as a consequence of my circumstances. Number two, here's your answer. It will come as a consequence of my choices. Friend, listen to me. Those of us who think we can wait because of the circumstances, you know what we have made ourselves? Victims. Oh, I would, but this happened. I would, but he did. I would, but she did. I would, but they did. And we become victims. But when we determine that we can make a choice, indeed we can make two choices, the choice to hear and the choice to obey. He who hears these sayings of mine and does them. Listen, rock solid living comes as a consequence of my choices. And those choices need to be every day of the rest of your life. 7 days a week. I'll spend at least 24 minutes every day interacting with God through His Word. And next two Sundays I'll unpack that for you. You'll understand exactly what I'm saying. But right now, just hear me. Choices are involved here. Carly Fiorina was head of Hewlett Packard at one time, was considered as a vice presidential running mate a few years ago. When I first heard her speak, she was not a believer. But through time, she came to faith in Jesus Christ. In her book, excellent book, called Tough Choices, she wrote these words, "If we cannot choose our circumstances, we can always choose our response to them." If we cannot choose who we are, we can always choose to become something more. To stop choosing is to start dying. I want to ask you, are you living or are you dying? I'm not asking a question about your age. I'm not asking a question about your health. I'm asking about your spiritual life right now. Are you living because you're making good and godly choices to hear God, to obey God? Or are you dying because you're not being obedient to the voice of the Father? You're either not listening, or even if you are, quote, unquote, listening, you're not obeying. It is a consequence of our choice. And hearing God is a choice. And hearing the Word of God is a choice. And whether or not I will expose myself to the Word of God on a daily basis is my choice. How long I spend in the Word, my choice. How often I sit at the feet of Jesus, my choice. I can choose to read, I can choose to listen, I can choose to watch. And this generation will stand in judgment before God and give an account for the fact that we didn't listen, even though you can hear God's Word every hour of every day. You can read it in multiple languages. You can do, there's no excuse for not hearing and not doing the will of God. The wise man, that's Rocky. He chose to hear and he chose to do, to obey. Did you get that? And James said what? Be doers of the word, not hearers only. It's a choice. It's a choice. I'm going to read, and don't look this up in your Bible, just watch me for a moment. I'm going to read the Great Commission. Listen carefully. Carefully. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Have a question. How many of you know that I misquoted it? Yeah, I did. Let me show you what happened. I read it like this. Teaching them all things that I have commanded you. It's not what it says. What does it say? Teaching them to observe all things. I want to ask you, are you leaving that out of your life? Are you leaving that out of your life? Are you picking and choosing what you're going to hear and picking and choosing what you're going to do? Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. I want you to understand something. We're dealing here with a choice, and the choice is to obey. And have you left obedience out of your life? Here's what I believe. That most of us have already been educated beyond our obedience. We don't need a new lesson today. We need to go back to what we've already known and even what we've already committed to. Southern Baptist, I believe, are as good as anybody in the world in producing training material. Books, Sunday school lessons, you name it. I mean, they are phenomenally good. But the sad thing is many of the Southern Baptists are more comfortable with one more lesson on evangelism than talking to a neighbor about Jesus Christ. So I'm just asking you the question, have you left observing out of your life? Have you left doing out of your life? That's the choice that we have to make. Jim Collins, another great writer in the business world, wrote a book called How the Mighty Fall. Listen, the main message of our work remains, we are not imprisoned by our circumstances, our setbacks, our history, our mistakes, or even staggering defeats along the way. We are freed, pause. Did you hear what I just said? That we are not imprisoned by circumstances, setbacks, history, mistakes, or staggering defeats. We are freed, are you ready? By our choices. We are freed by our choices. Every believer can experience rock-solid living. And rock-solid living comes not as a consequence of my circumstances, but as a result of my choice. Now, this could be your turning point. It could be for someone, some two, some 20, some 100. This could be your turning point. You say, I don't know how to do it yet. I'm going to help you in the next 2 weeks. But I want you to start today. Don't wait 2 weeks. That's procrastination. No, start today. Set aside 20, 25, 30 minutes. Set aside that time. Open God's Word. Say, I don't know where to start. Start in the Gospel of John. Start in the sweet letter that Paul wrote to the Philippian Christians. Philippians has 4 chapters. Start there. I'll talk more about how you do it next week. But just start. 7 days a week, I will spend at least 24 minutes each day interacting with God through His Word. Now listen to me. This is not a new legalism. This is an invitation to liberty. It may feel like a duty when you start, but I can tell you, it'll become a delight before long. Day after day, sitting in the presence of your Father, sitting at the feet of Jesus, saying, Lord, I didn't come to achieve. I came to receive. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Speak that my soul may hear. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Calm every doubt and fear. Rock solid living. Got 4 questions and I'm done. If you're a note taker, write them down. Here are the 4 questions I want to address to you, because I think these are incredibly important if you are going to come to your turning point and move toward rock solid living. Here they are. Number 1, am I saved? Am I saved? You see, Paul says the natural man, the natural woman, that is the person that's not been converted, they've not been born again, they've not been saved, they've not repented of their sins, they've not asked Jesus to come into their heart and life, they've not received eternal life. He says the natural man does not receive the things of God, nor can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. Can I tell you, this book will stay primarily closed to those who are not saved. So you got to ask that question. You ought to ask that question. Last week we saw 3 people testify of their faith through believers' baptism. And I believe that there are others. The seed has been planted in your heart. And you need to make that step. And you need to move forward and quit standing around. You need to do what God's calling you to do. And if you've never been saved today. Today is the day of salvation. And now is the acceptable time. And I hope many of you have already planted some seed this week. And if you've not been here, pick one of these up as you leave. It's just the Bible in 10 words. But part of what it does is give a prayer for a person to pray if they're ready by the work of the Holy Spirit and the Father to give their life to Christ. Okay, number 1, am I saved? Number 2, am I submissive to God's will? Is that important? Yes, and I'll tell you why. Here's what a lot of us want. We want to say, God, tell me what you want me to do, and then I'll decide if I'm going to do it or not. Can I say this kindly? God does not have any obligation to tell you what you need to do unless you have already said, yes, I will. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. You want me to go here? Yes, I will. You want me to do this? Yes, I will. You want me to speak? Yes, I will. You want me to be still? Yes, I will. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. Am I submissive to God's will? Number 3, Am I depending on the Holy Spirit? Who is the author of Scripture? Answer, the Holy Spirit, who inspired people, men of old, to write the Holy Scripture. Are you depending on the Holy Spirit? Are you saying, Holy Spirit, open my mind and heart so I can understand what you need me to understand through the Word? Listen, there is so much I don't understand. But day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, the Holy Spirit is opening His Word to me. So am I saved? Am I submissive to God's will? Am I depending on the Holy Spirit? And then number four, last question. Am I willing to commit the time to hear God's voice? You can be a champion. You can be a Rocky. You can experience rock solid living. So I ask you even now, before you understand all the implications, I ask you to embrace the 724 challenge. Please, please. You say, what if I did 6 days? Am I in trouble? No. No, it's fine. It's probably several days better. Well, no, we won't go there. But anyway, that's not the point. You say, well, what if I do 23 minutes? Has God got His stopwatch out saying, whoops, He messed up today? No, 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 no. Friend, I just simply ask you to embrace the consistency required to be a Rocky. You don't become a Rocky in the lazy boy recliner. You got to put feet to your faith. And I'm challenging you, start today, not tomorrow. Heavenly Father, in the name above every name, the name of Jesus, I lift up these good people here in the room and those that have been listening. And I pray from the depths of my soul that this would be a turning point. And Father, I thank You that You arrested me on the 7th day of April in 2009. And that became a turning point in my life. And it's still bearing fruit day after day after day. And I thank You for that. Father, I pray that there'll be somebody under the sound of my voice that will say, I'm tired of standing around spiritually. And I'm ready to choose to hear and to do the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen.